I'm Stuart Scott. It's a blessing to be here. My first time at Faith Church was Steve Iyer's first year here. I was distraught as a pastor, referring everyone out who had problems because that's what I was taught to do from seminary class, where a psychologist told us that's what you need to do. And so I was doing it. I was referring them all out to people who had a fish logo on their business card, but were therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists. And then I found out what was going on behind closed doors. And often pastors don't ask about what goes on behind the closed doors. And it was just awful in the area where I was at. It was talk therapy, regression therapy, hypnosis. It was things that I just cannot believe was going on. So I cried out to help for help. Went to a pastor I'd served with, and I called him. His name was Randy Patton. Randy's such a dear friend, and I served with him at Fort Wayne for a couple of years. And I just called Randy and said, "I need help. I'm referring out. I'm standing up in the pulpit, and I'm thinking, what good is this for God's people? Because if you have any problems, the answers apparently are out there. They're not here, and they're not in the church. They're out there. I mean, that's what happens when you refer out all the time." And he said, "You need to come to a conference. I think I can get you in. It's only for missionaries from Faith Church at the time." So there's a group like 50 people over there in the auditorium. And it was closed to everyone from outside. It was not open to the public. And he got me in. And that 1 week, and you remember track one, I just had not heard these kind of things coming out of God's Word that applied to life and real issues. I was calling home at night, and, "Honey, please forgive me. You know, man, I am so far from any kind of an exemplary husband. I'm so, please forgive me. I've not been the father." And I was doing that throughout the week. It was just working me over. But then Friday came, and "Honey, I'm coming home." She says, "Only a week? Can you stay up there for a few years?" No, she didn't say that. But it was life-changing. It was truly life-changing. And Randy had gone to the same seminary I went to, but he had gotten to 12 weeks here, Monday, all day Mondays. And I just said, "Where did you get the help?" And he said it was the 12 weeks. And I said, "Well, I can't do that from South Carolina where I was pastoring." And he said, "Come for the week long." And it was just life-changing. So that was 33 years ago. And since then, I mean, I've just been wanting to pass on to others what's been passed on to me, just ministering God's word. As Brad Bigney says, you know, real people with real problems and has real answers from God's word. The topic this morning that I wanted to address is the area of discouragement. I'm not going to ask a show of hands for those who are discouraged this morning, but it's very common. And it's very common. And if you're not today, you might be tomorrow. It seems sometimes like faith and discouragement can live in the same chamber in a day, where you're going from one place to the other and back and forth, depending on news. News you hear, either on TV or emails or relationships. Someone will call you, especially if it's a family member. They seem to have a deeper hold in our lives. And it can be so discouraging. When people come for counseling, it's not because they're encouraged. I've not met anyone yet who said, "Can you counsel me? I'm encouraged." I'm overly encouraged, and I'm trying to reduce that. I don't get anyone like that. Maybe they come your way, but they don't come my way. They're always discouraged, either with a sin issue or a trial. Just discouragement. And I don't know, maybe you're beginning this year discouraged. We're in February, but it just, if you're already discouraged and you go, "Boy, I sure hope things get better." The notes that you have, I'd like them to be more of a tool for you. I mean, you can write on them and everything, but use it when you counsel others who are discouraged. It's a tool. We're going to look at one individual primarily as a sample in Scripture. But a lot of individuals in Scripture, Old Testament and New, were discouraged. And so looking at their life, their circumstances, and then what changed? Their view of God changed. That's what I want to do, is try to encourage you today, because whatever's going on in your life, are we thinking properly about God? Some years ago, not that many years ago, my wife and I, Zandra, we were sitting, and it was just, we were both really down, very discouraged, and I was going, what's going on that we're so discouraged? Well, both our dads had died within a very short time. My younger brother took his life, and that was a shock. I was having heart issues, not spiritually, although discouragement, maybe a little, but physically. So I had to have open heart surgery. And with our children, we were going through some issues with them. And when I'm saying all the things, we're talking out loud, I'm going, oh, that's probably why. We're just going to hit with a lot of different issues in our lives, and it seems to hit all at one time at times, like it did with Job. But even recently, as I was prepping for this, I've kind of worked through these notes myself, for myself. So this isn't something I come up with and say, oh, this would be good for somebody. It doesn't help me at all, but it may help you. It doesn't work that way. It's best if you can work through the issues and then pass on to them what's fruitful. But we've just been dealing with another issue going on for the past few years in our lives. You know, saying, when is this going to end? The hardship of it. And just for my wife and I, just being able to talk through these issues that I'm going to be relaying on to you from Scripture, this is like fresh. As a matter of fact, I'm still going back to the things that I'm going to be saying we really need to be doing and teaching others. I'm doing myself. I think we need to do this as the way we can stay encouraged with God's Word. So this is a tool that we're going to be looking at. It's just a study to help God's people who really have been blessed in many ways. We've been blessed in many ways, but under difficult circumstances, can tend to either not think correctly about God, or we don't think about Him at all. And that's what you're going to find with some of these different individuals that we look at, is either the view of God is distorted, or He's not even in their thoughts. And I think that's what's key. What I've done is I've broken it down. There'll be 8 kind of things that we look at, and we're going to only look at one person this morning for sake of time. Just the background of the person, what's going on in their life, the setting. What difficult circumstances is this person going through? And this is what you could assign individuals. Take Ruth. Take Naomi. Ruth was all right. Naomi, then just go right through what's going on in Naomi's life. What happens? She says, I'm bitter. Just call me bitter. So you could do different individuals, but what's the difficult circumstances? Number 3, or letter C, what's their view of God? Is it inaccurate? Is it incomplete? Or is He just missing? They're not even thinking about God. And then the response. What's their response of discouragement? What do they say there? Like, woe is me, Baruch, the secretary to Jeremiah. I mean, they say something, it's just their expression of discouragement. And then how did their view change about God? And it's usually right in the text. And then what is their faith-filled response now? Now they're encouraged. Now they say they have hope. And then I've just added a couple more here. How can these truths that you've just gleaned from a study of an individual help us to know and love Jesus more? He should always be the end of our study. Don't see Him in every verse. Don't do, I see Jesus. But do see Him at the end of your study, the Christotelic position. And then lastly, What three lessons can you learn and apply from the study